Good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Okay.
How was your trip? Where are you in the world? Are you back home?
I am back briefly. I am back in Los Angeles for a couple of days, and then I'm heading out again.
Oh, good.
I have my magical mystery tour. But yeah, I had to come back to get some things done and go on from there.
Oh. Good. Kiss the dog.
Hi. Good evening. It's Joan.
Hey, John.
Hey, Joan.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Carl.
How are you?
Hi, Carolyn. I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing well. There's Caroline. Okay, good.
Okay.
I think the gang's all
here. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. There we go. All right. So we are here. We are here on this beautiful, it's a beautiful evening here. I don't know what it's like on the other coast, but it is a beautiful evening here.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
The first kind of like warmish one we've had, too.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful day, all day. Mm-hmm. We got out early and we did our walk and it was just gorgeous.
Mm.
Gorgeous. So welcome, welcome, everybody.
Hello.
This is week four in our mastery in manifestation. So I am grateful for this call. I'm grateful for all of you. And that ties in really well because the theme this week is gratitude and the frequency of manifestation. So we'll dive deep into that. But I just invite everybody to take a deep breath with me right now.
Oh.
And let's transition from wherever we came from, whatever was going on in our lives right now. We're going to come right to this moment because this is your time. And by breathing, it anchors us in the now, in the eternal now, because we can only breathe now. We can't breathe in the future. We can't breathe in the past. We can only breathe right now. So let's turn our ringers off, close the door to the room we're in, shut down the tabs on Facebook, whatever we've got that could distract us. Let's just put them on do not disturb, and let's bring our attention to ourselves. Let's pay attention to what's seeking to emerge from within each one of us, and let's put our full focus here, right now on us. And so grab a pen, grab a paper, and let's get into some really heartfelt discussion here. I always look forward to these calls. So what are some of the wins this week? What's been going on? I know for us, it's been spring break for the kids. So the kids have been home, and you know, Eliana's been with us for the most of the week. So we've been spending a lot of time with her, and Gavin's had his girlfriend over. So we've been spending a lot of nice quality time together. And then
we
on
had
Thursday
Dr.
night,
Wang.
Yeah, yeah, and Dr. Wang came. So a friend of mine I've known her for 18 years now, a doctor in traditional Chinese medicine. And she lives on Long Island now, actually close to where my older daughter is going to school. And she calls me Thursday night and she goes, "I'm coming to New Jersey. You pick me up tomorrow morning, okay?" I'm like, "What?" So I picked her up on Friday and she stayed the whole weekend. She left yesterday afternoon. So she was with us. She spent time with us. It was nice to see her. She went to church with us on Sunday, and then she went to
my
brother's
for
Easter.
And then, yeah, she was making us all different kinds of medicinal teas, and oh my God, she was incredible. Dandelion teas and lemon teas and
all kinds. And
she
then
just
yesterday
taught us so
we spent
much.
Hours making dumplings. It was so good.
Oh my God!
Oh,
we had
wow.
so much fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was so
we
nice.
We all did it. It was so much fun, laughing. It was a great weekend.
Yeah, it was nice. So that was definitely a win for us.
Yeah.
And, of course, I woke up this morning, I felt like a Mack truck had run me over. I'm like, why am I so tired? This whole week has just been nonstop. So,
yeah.
But it was a good tired. It's a good, you know, to spend time with family. It's very important with the people you love. So we're happy to do that. So what else? What else has been going on?
Michael, you had a nice weekend.
I did. And, you know, part of it, too, some more bumps in the road came along. And quite frankly, just kind of learning just again, to be non-reactive. To be non-reactive, you know, maybe for a minute or so, maybe for a couple of hours or so, to be really honest, you know, but then, you know, just, again, you know, being reactive is, I don't want to be pulled to that state, because it's a state, quite frankly, that you stay in it, and nothing that you really want to have accomplished is available. And so it's kind of like the doors are closed to the store you want to go shopping in, and the store shopping is, you know, is one of moving forward and continuing on the path to the dreams you want to build. You know, and mine is, you know, multifaceted, you know. Yeah. So, but, you know, it's, you know, I'll be honest, I was pulled back for a little bit, and then, you know, you keep moving on. And you keep moving on, you know, embrace it. Yeah, it happened, but embracing it for, you know, less time than I normally would have a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly, Michael. I know. I had to deal with that myself. You know, standing in the vision and in the face of fear rising up, made a little bit of health challenges and some blood work that I wasn't particularly expecting, but just I made a decision. I said, nope, no more. No more fear is rising up in me. I made a decision. I'm standing in truth. Truth. Mm-hmm. The truth of it is that I am healthy, and I deserve to be healthy. I am a co-creator with God, and He says that I am well, and I am well, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right. Just like what's going on with you. We have to stand in truth.
Yeah. See the truth. Through the appearance.
Exactly.
I might also, if I may interject for a second, that for every one of us, you know, on the call here, is that something that I discovered this weekend was the series on Netflix called Heal, about how important your subconscious is to your health. And what comes in physically shapes your cells into how they react, whether they're reacting in a way of you know, cancer, or they're reacting in another way. And I must say, I watched an hour of the show. I can't wait to watch the rest of it. But it's more so than just people healing themselves physically. It's people healing themselves psychologically.
It's
emotional.
Well.
Exactly.
What comes in is what comes out.
Exactly.
And it's so important. So I really would, you know, ask you guys, take a look at this. Again, it's called Heal. It's on Netflix.
Michael? Now I know that's a confirmation, because you're the third person that told me to watch it and within 2 weeks. So
interesting.
I'm listening.
No, and it's well worth it. And mine just came haphazardly. Someone just happened to mention it to me, so I just started watching it. And so, you know, there's so many lessons to be learned in it.
Right. Yeah.
So many lessons.
It's abundant. It's abundant. Full spectrum health, wealth, and well-being. Well-being is not just health.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Dr. Bruce Lipton's been doing a lot of work with a field that he's helped develop called epigenetics. And, and through his work, he shows that what affects our genetics and our health more than anything else. But there's two things. One is our thoughts, and two is our environment. And he's proven that over and over and over again. I mean, he's taken identical, you know, cells, like identical cells, and split them into three groups, and then had different types of environmental influences put on them, and they reacted differently. And so it's just amazing that, you know, it's the same thing. This is what we're learning here, is what we have on the inside is reflected on the outside. And so if we're allowing the physical world, what we're seeing and the appearance of the physical world to affect us, then it's almost like a vicious cycle, right? It goes in. That changes the internal environment, and then it's reflected back out. And so that's why we see the truth behind the appearance of disease. We see the truth behind the appearance of of poverty or lack or not deserving, because none of that is true. Mm-hmm. And we can really affect our experience and our reality, really, by the thoughts that we hold. We have that power.
Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah, and it's true. Like, three people have said, you got to see this. And
it was one of the most powerful hours of television, besides the Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm kidding on that part.
I'm cracking up because I watched that. Yeah.
Oh, honey, please. You can't get back that hour of your life.
I tell her that all the time.
That hour ain't coming back.
I know.
I'm just saying, proceed with caution.
She goes into the bedroom to fold clothes, and she puts that on.
Yeah.
Right? And if I walk in the bedroom, it's like I have to smudge. That's what I feel it in the energy in the room. You got to turn this off. You're filling your head with this garbage. I'm smudging.
If you don't have enough drama in your world, you know what? Bring them in.
Yeah.
You know? But they're paid for it.
Right,
they are paid
exactly.
for it.
See, there,
that is
see,
true.
There's a difference.
I
but honestly, it was
it
the best. It was the best 1 hour.
Wow.
Oh, the good. Then you don't know that Carolyn Manzo's coming back. Anyway.
Oh, no.
So anyway.
No way.
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
Stop, God. So literally, it is. It's just so much about your mind, about conditioning your mind, and when you don't. You know, you are ping-ponging back and forth, and you're just in a reactive state, and your body just interprets what you are accepting.
Exactly.
It doesn't know better.
It doesn't know better.
Or even
right.
when you say, oh, God, I wish I would just die tonight. No, you can't say those things because the universe doesn't know better.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Say cancel, or delete, cancel. And the 1 hour of that programming, I got to tell you, it's just, you know, it was life-changing.
Yeah.
So, Joan,
you have to check it out
too.
We're
doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's not just about, you know, feeling better or if you have cancer. It hits on so many levels, a myriad of levels.
Right.
Oh, it sounds like a really powerful and a really great series and something I could recommend to other people to watch as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's powerful. The people that are in it, you know, are people that you'll identify with. You know, it's not, you know, people sitting in the top of a tree for 3 weeks saying, you know, oh, I just want to remove stress from my life. You know, I mean, it's like real people.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with tree huggers, people sitting in the top of the trees, but these are people like, you know, that are just, you know, like on every walk of life.
Yeah.
I think people are looking for this more and more and more, and they're trying to find ways in order to make these shifts and in their lives and in ways that they can live with, you know, that's not so far of reach for them.
Yeah.
I think people are actually pretty desperate to find ways, really.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also in like Sanjay Gupta on CNN, about when he goes to, you know, the blue parts of, you know, considered the healthiest parts of the world. And a lot of it, too, is turning off this social media of comparison, of you don't have time to think for yourself because as Carl has said this, you're bombarded with messaging, and at record levels. I mean, we have showers that talk to us. You know, and you get out, and then it's the news, and news flashes in my bedroom on a stupid appliance that, you know, I bought for Alexa, you know, and there's news flashes. So I wake up, and I look at it, and, oh, 300 people are dead, and then what's happening to me now? And, you know, and then, but what do you do with that information, though?
Right.
You know, no, Alexa, turn off.
I have to tell you, I remember I said I was going to turn off the news. I don't even know what it's called that pops up on your phone. CNN, Washington Post, on and on and on. And I turned it off that night, and I have not turned it back on, and I am not missing it. You know, I used to be like a junkie. Oh, the slightest. Yeah. There it is. And then I'm on the subway. I have about maybe like a 15, 20-minute subway ride. But I was like, that's what I would read on the subway. So instead of reading that on the subway now, I've been reading a lot of really much, much, much better things, and also sending off communications to, you know, to people like I need to and wanted to, and it's like total, and I'm not missing it now. You know, every now and then I just sort of think about it, but I was like, no, but you know, what else can I be doing with my time now instead with these 15 minutes?
Right.
It's you know, it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
about, and I'm still knowing what's going
little
on
changes.
In the world.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too. Is
you can do about it anyway, though.
Yeah,
with the negative messages. What would you like to do about Sri Lanka?
Exactly. You know, you can say a prayer for everybody there, and you can like send them great energy, and you know, and also, you know, maybe send some money to some of the aid organizations, and also just put it out there that, you know, you would like for these kind of things not to be happening in the world, and you're going to stand for, you know, you're going to stand for people communicating far better with each other and all of those kind of things. But really the place you can make a difference is in right here where you are.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Yeah, it's true. It starts in our hearts. It starts inside us. That's where the change happens. So one person at a time. It's true.
Amen.
So last week we talked about increasing your effectiveness in manifestation. And we looked at four steps to increase your effectiveness. So first step was role models. So you find yourself a role model who's demonstrating the life you want to be living. And Joan is demonstrating that we can all shut off our news feeds and we don't need to be bombarded with that. And Caroline's demonstrating she doesn't have to turn on, you know, the housewives anymore.
She didn't say that, Carl.
No, I heard. She didn't commit.
She didn't fully commit. She didn't.
Okay.
All right.
I was planting some seeds.
Thanks, buddy.
So,
give her a little bit of rope.
So we want to find ourselves role models. They're people that are demonstrating the life we want to be living. You know, one who's already successful in creating the life you want to create, and success becomes assumed. So it's like it's that, you know, we can take on their success. We can take on that vibration. We can take on that anointing. If they can do it, I can do it. The second step we talked about is verbal supporters, surrounding yourself with people who will verbally support you in your dream, just like this call, just like other systems of support, people around you who will verbally support you. The third step was relaxation and stress reduction techniques. So that's, we all need that. We use our breath, so focusing on our breath, exercise, meditation to move stress out of the body and invite relaxation in. Make it inviting, making it welcome. And then the fourth step was mastery experiences, so giving yourself wins. Acknowledge the baby steps. Mastery isn't in doing it perfectly. The mastery is in the showing up. It's just is in the consistency. You know, just keep showing up. Just keep doing that. So let's check in. How was that, the life work this week for you? So I invited you to a couple things. Implement one of the self-efficacy techniques. You know, so what did you implement? You know, what was your experience with that? And then the other part was describing and implementing your ideal day. You know, I hope you had fun with this one. You know, what was your ideal day and what did you do? So, like, for us yesterday, you know, it was pretty ideal to have people we love around and then making food and laughing and just spending time in close proximity. You know, and it happened to be in the kitchen, which is a nourishing place in most homes. So what was one of the self-efficacy, I can't even say it, efficacy techniques and your ideal day? How was that life work this week for you guys?
Well, I didn't really get around to an ideal day. I didn't. I had a number of, like, good points during the day and, you know, I mean, a lot of good things during the day, but I didn't really get around to creating it, and so I need to do that.
Well,
so it's good. I mean, this is a work in progress, so it's sometimes it's always easy to do that, you know, in one week. But you grab moments here. It's just like, you know, your ideal life is just stringing ideal days together. And I think, you know, ideal days is just stringing ideal moments together.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
So that's good, that, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have a little bit different take on it.
Okay. Yeah? What's that?
My ideal take is, given what I've just been through, is kind of ideal day is for me kind of waking up. That kind of starts it. And anything after that is, to me, is kind of is kind of ideal. I mean, I can imagine, like, God, I want to wake up, and then, Otis and I, we're going to go walk to the beach, and then we're going to go to the market, and we're going to get, you know, things for lunch and blah, blah. You know, the thing about it, though, is we all know the best laid plans, you know, change, and your ability to roll with the changes and also be happy with the changes, even though the changes may not be great. Like, oh, I went out to drive to go, you know, to the beach, and my car was stolen. You know, okay, well, that's, you know, okay.
Well, you don't want to put that in your vision.
No, but I'm just saying, but what I'm saying, Carl, is that, you know, it's interesting, and that exercise is difficult for me, because the ideal day changes every single day. There's no day that's the same. And so to say, like, I would like this one kind of day, I'm just kind of happy whatever unfolds in the day, and then how I don't react to it, and I'm still happy.
You know, there's a point I agree, because, you know, every day has a lot of things in common and happens similarly as the previous days, but a lot of things different. But the ideal day would be where your head is at and how you're handling it and how you're thinking about it and how present you are and how you are moving, you know, staying in your vision and staying in your place of what you want to have happen and, you know, keeping that energy. I think that's what would make it an ideal day.
Exactly.
You know,
it is an exercise in the visioning process, you know. And then, you know, to actually go and do it in the physical world, actually do it, that's just an extra step. But I think what we're trying to do is getting into, when we get into our visions, we get into that feeling tone, is we really are putting on those moments in our ideal days, in our ideal life. You know, it's part of the exercise. And, you know,
feeling tone is, I think it's like a great, for me, it's a very helpful word, because what I've been trying to do as I'm walking around is like really staying in this place of it's coming from within me out and in a state of energy that's much more dynamic as opposed to toned down, turned down, you know? And it's really interesting, because as you move in different environments, like we were just talking about, you know, it's like there's a part of your attention, which is what you've been talking about, shifts, and, you know, you start noticing outside of you as opposed to coming from within you, it gets dulled, you know?
And that's going to segue really nicely in what we're going to talk about today, is no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, is to hold that constant state inside. So if we're allowing the circumstances to affect our internal environment, then we're living a condition-based life, you know. And then it's just like you're going moment to moment, just reacting to things, as opposed to things happen. You know, just like Michael said, things happen this week, and, you know, okay, he got pulled into it, but he noticed what he was noticing, and he said, you know what, I don't need to react. I can respond. I can approach it a different way. I can come at it a different way. It's what we bring to it is what we, you know, how we will experience it. So that's good. That's a good point. You know, it's a good point. You know, how we choose to live life, as opposed to, you know, just reacting to what's going on around us, to circumstances.
Yeah,
so I guess that would be considered an unconditional life, because we're not tied to circumstances, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like unconditional love. It's just love just love in its purest form. It's not tied to, well, if you do this, then I'll love you more, or, you know, if you treat me this way, I'm going to love you more. That's condition-based love. But unconditional love, it's no matter what you do. Doesn't matter. I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm going to, you know, unconditional. So it's unconditional living.
Can I add to that? I like this idea of unconditional living, and then it's all, and also it's like, and I'm loving my vision, and I'm loving my, you know, I'm loving me and who I'm becoming in this, you know, regardless of what the environment is that I'm in at the moment.
Exactly. And as long as you're taking your personal action, you're taking those action steps, so you're doing the vision work, you got the feeling tone that you've got with that, that's that magnetic field you're putting around it, and then you're doing your action, even if it's baby steps. Putting those things together is so powerful. And that's how then you become the person. That's the road, the journey. That's the real goal or the real gift of the journey is who you become in the process. Because once you become that person that's living your vision, well, guess what? You're living the life you would absolutely love living. And so that's the whole, you got it. You got it right there. Good job. That was a good revelation there. That's what we're striving for. That's where we're, I love the word endeavor. That's what we're endeavoring to do. So it's good. So this week, as we conclude our month in Mastery and Manifestation, we focus on the practice of gratitude. And it's interesting because this whole discussion around gratitude, as you'll see, it's pretty powerful. So we're focusing on the practice. That is learning to walk through the world in such a way, and this is exactly what you're talking about, Joan, learning to walk through the world in such a way that we run the frequency of gratitude through our mind, through our heart, through our being, through our body. Gratitude places us in a state of expectancy. Gratitude is the basis of faith. Wallace Wattles wrote in his book called The Science of Getting Rich, he said, "The grateful mind is constantly fixed on the best. Therefore, it tends to become the best. It takes the form or character of the best and will receive the best." So gratitude is a powerful component in mastery of manifestation. And we're going to look at 3 points of gratitude, three different areas here. So first of all, gratitude is the frequency, the gratitude frequency is harmonious with abundance. And so I've always said that. Gratitude is the same frequency as abundance, the same frequency as love. It's the same frequency as God, because God is love. Because if you're grateful, you can't feel lack, you can't feel non-deserving, you can't feel, you know, loneliness. You're in gratitude. So, and here's the thing: your essence never changes. Your spiritual DNA is perfect. Your essence never changes. So you will never be more or less abundant than right now. You will never be more or less deserving than right now. So we need to really, you know, get that into us. Our essence never changes. So the gap between who we are in essence and who we are in expressed experience has to do with our thinking and our beliefs. So let me say that again. The gap between who we are in essence and who we are in expressed experience. That's a pretty important phrase right there. Who we are in expressed experience has to do with our thinking and our beliefs. We are the intermediary. Think about this. We are the intermediary between Source, between God, and the physical world. Think about that. We're the in-between. We're the intermediary. And so Source comes through us, and then we experience the physical world. And so how we think, what our beliefs are, affects our reality, affects our physical world. So that's pretty powerful stuff, and it's exactly what Michael was talking about in that documentary. And science is showing that. You know, more and more people, like Joan said, people are starving for this, and it's true. That's why this work is so powerful. So with gratitude, and this ties right into what you're talking about, Joan, with gratitude, we become beacons for abundance. Think about that. So if you're in gratitude, you're a beacon for abundance. You become a person of increase, and people feel that. People are attracted to that. All right? We become beacons to everything that is harmonious with the wavelengths, with the wavelength we're tuned to. So just like your television is turned to the frequency on your remote control, so your life tunes to the frequency you're holding. So it doesn't matter, again, it doesn't matter where you came from. If you're listening to CNN for the last 30 years, constantly negative news, that doesn't matter because you have the power to change the frequency right here, right now, in the eternal now, push the button on the remote and go to Discovery. Go to, don't go to Housewives, but go to Discovery. Go to something more expansive. We have the ability to change that frequency. And if we hold that frequency, we hold that frequency of abundance, that's, we're like, I always say, we're like broadcasting towers. We're broadcasting stations. The thoughts that we have, the feelings we're holding, the beliefs we hold are broadcast out. It's being broadcast out. And by the law of attraction, what we put out, we get back. And so if we're in gratitude, we're holding the state of our vision, that feeling tone, that vibration, that magnetic field around us, well, then things start to come toward us. Things, time compresses because we're not only moving toward our dream, but our dream is moving toward us. It's coming. So dream is coming through us. So it's pretty powerful stuff. So gratitude frequency, harmonious with abundance. How did that land for you guys? It's powerful. It's exactly what we talked about.
No. I mean, it's a lot. Yeah. I mean, it is. It is. It's just where you are, where you vibrate, that the world returns it.
World returns it. And so what we're learning by being more conscious to this, we notice what we're noticing. That's why our first brave thinking tool is notice what you're noticing. When I first heard that, I'm like, oh, what does that mean? Notice what you're noticing. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
I notice I got a pain in my foot. Okay, my neck hurts. I notice I'm hungry right now. You know, but notice what you're noticing. You notice that, oh, you're starting to grumble about the circumstances around you. Huh, okay. Well, if I'm going to start to attune to that frequency, well, guess what? I'm going to get more of that. You know, if I stay in the frequency of gratitude, I'm attuned to that. I'm going to get more of that. So.
And Mary was also talked about how we are the, we are like God expressed, and He has expresses through us.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. So there's different ways. So that's why I said before, we're the intermediary between God and the physical world. So, and there's another way to think about it. It's like there's one mind. It's like the mind of God, and we are manifestations of the mind of God. We're within the mind of God, and so there's only one mind. We're part of that mind, and so God is expressing life through us.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. That's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
God is expressing through us. That's why, we're the light. We're the light. Jesus talked about that. You know, He came as the light of the world, but then He said, you're the light, right? Because God created us in His image. What does that mean? That means it's that spiritual internal environment that God is expressing through us. Wow, that's just so powerful. It's so powerful, you know, and God gave us free will. It's all right. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it, right? God will always put two trees in your garden because He will always give you a choice, right? Because we have free will, and that is sacred to Him. He won't break that. That is sacred to Him. So it's what we do with that. What we do with that. Pretty powerful stuff, right? So that's the first point. Gratitude frequency. The second point is if you want abundance, don't go looking for it. That's interesting. If you want abundance, don't go looking for it. Come from it. Come from it. Just like our vision, we come from our vision. We come from our dream. We can't get to our dream. You'll never get to your dream. Your dream has come from you. You have to come from your dream. That's why we do our vision work. That's why we put on that feeling tone. That's why we try on different aspects of it. And we're living it. We're in it right here, right now, in the present moment. As you know, see those things that are not as though they are. So we're coming from the dream. So if you want abundance, don't go looking for it. Come from it. So you can have anything you're willing to become. And Joan, you just said that. You just said that beautifully. It's that person you're becoming. So you can have anything you're willing to become. Because in life, you don't get what you want. You don't get what you need. You get who you are. And who you become, that's what you get. That's what you get. So if you're that person that's always late, that's always his lack of time, or if you're that person that pays their bills late, you know, his lack of money, well, guess what? That's who you become. That's who you are. Change the frequency. You have that ability. You have the remote in your hand. Change the frequency. You know, so Caroline and I, we always say, we're the couple. Everything works out, couple. That's who we are. Everything works out, couple. So, you know, change that frequency. Change the tune. You know, we know that if we put our money in high interest bank accounts, it will appreciate. So put your thoughts in places that bear interest. I think Joan even said it before. It's like, you know, where you put your attention will bear fruit, will bear interest. Where are you putting your energy? Where are you putting your focus? And so sometimes, you know, we catch ourselves. I mean, Michael, you said that. You got pulled back into that old pattern.
Yep.
You were focusing, this and this and this, and that's like death and destruction and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wait a minute. Notice what you're noticing.
Right, right.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. So you change that frequency, you know. Let me put my thoughts in places that bear interest. What's going to bear interest? You know what's going to bear interest? Mallorca. That's going to bear interest, right?
Yes.
Palma.
Yes, yes, yes.
That apartment in Palma, that's going to bear interest, right? So that's going to bear interest. So that's pretty powerful stuff. So, you know, don't go looking for it. Come from it. Come from it. And that's what vision work is all about, living a vision-driven life. That's the core right then and there is we coming from it. We're in the vibration, constantly going back. How many times? As many times as you can. As many times as you can. Now, the third point, this was really also a powerful point when I first learned this, when I first heard this. That there's two types of gratitude. There's two types. The first type is gratitude for. So we're grateful for the things we have. We're grateful for our health. We're grateful for our house, for our friends, for our job, for our partner. We're grateful for the things that we have. Grateful for life. We're grateful for, you know, food on the table. Okay? So that's gratitude for. And you know, a good exercise is to keep a gratitude journal. You know, keep a gratitude journal for 30 days. Write at least 5 things you're grateful for each morning. And you can't repeat. You know, can't repeat it. Write 5 things every morning for 30 days in a journal. Review your list at night and add any others you'd like to. And you'd be amazed how many things that you're grateful for in your life, what you're grateful for. And being tuned in to what you're grateful for, this repatterns your thoughts and the frequency you're holding. You know, it's so funny because, like, you know, we have this term. I mean, my girls use it all the time. Is we have, well, Sophia did. My older daughter used to use this all the time. We have these first world problems. You know, we have people, you know, we know people living in third world, you know, third world problems. You know, it's like, you know, putting food on the table and having, you know, the basics of life, clean water and shelter and safety and security and, you know, that's third world problems. And we say, well, we have first world problems, you know. It's like, oh, my lunch came out cold today. You know, I went to the restaurant and the waiter was rude. First world problems, right?
Yeah.
So it's like putting things in perspective, being grateful for, because a lot of times, you know, we live in the United States. We live in one of the greatest country in the world. And I think we take things for granted because they're always there. And I know when I have friends that come over from Europe or friends from that are not from here or born here, they're grateful for the smallest things. The smallest things. You know, I had read a story one time. It was right about the time that the Berlin Wall came down. You know, so Germany is split. Mm-hmm. Berlin is split. You know, East Germany, West Germany. And when the wall came down and people first came across, I read an account of the first time that an East Berliner saw a fruit cart for the first time in their life. It was almost like life became in Kodachrome. It came in full color.
Okay.
Right? Because they didn't have fresh fruit. They didn't have vendors that had fruit carts with all the colors of the rainbow, you know, with all the taste and the smells, right? So it's like walking out of a black and white film, a drab black and white horror film, walking into abundance and just experiencing that and just being so grateful for that. You know, we have farmers markets every weekend, you know. It's like we see it all the time. It's like, oh, there's that guy again. He's selling the fruits and vegetables again, you know. So being grateful for these little things that we take for granted, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And I always suggest, and I had the fortune when I was younger to travel to other countries. My dad is from Portugal, so we, you know, he had gone to Portugal, and I was able to travel to Mexico and this and that. And I always suggest, and my girls, you know, had the fortune to do that too, because once you experience other cultures, you get out of your bubble. We live in a bubble.
Uh-huh.
We really start to not take things for granted. We really start appreciating the things and being grateful for the smallest things around.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Like I had traveled to India, you know, and I had traveled to some pretty poor areas in Mexico, let's say, or I've been to Dominican Republic and seen, you know, some really poor areas. But
uh-huh.
I had an opportunity to go on a business trip to India, and I did the research. I did, you know, I read up on it, and I watched some films on it, and I looked at pictures, but nothing describes being there in person, being on the street and seeing the poverty, seeing the, like we have homeless. You walk down the street in New York City, you see homeless. You see them, but they're adults. You walk down the streets in India, and you see family,
yeah.
Right, in the street.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it's just, you know, it was a culture shock, no matter how much studying I did, until you actually experience it, and it just puts a whole new perspective on life. It really does. It really does. And so that's gratitude for. Now, the second type of gratitude, and this is really powerful, and this is something that it took me a while to really, and I'm still, you know, learning this. The second type of gratitude was exemplified in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a student of the teachings of Jesus, and because of that, he was tortured. He was put into a Roman prison. You can imagine, you know, what that was like. From the prison, which was a dark, dank, horrible, you know, damp, disease-ridden place. I mean, it had bugs and rats and all kinds of things. Not anything like our prisons today, all right? He said, I have learned this one thing at least, that in whatever condition I find myself, so there's that word condition, whatever condition I find myself, therein to be grateful. Now, he didn't say therefore to be grateful, like grateful for. He said therein to be grateful, to be grateful. It was very, very carefully constructed the way he said that. He said therein because of what it does for him. So when we let ourselves feel gratitude in all things, we create a generative gratitude, and that changes us. It changes our awareness, and it changes our experience to be grateful in. And I've been like, you know, I do my walks or I meditate. It's just like grateful in. It's like, yeah, I can be grateful for these things. And if you really think about it, that's conditioned-based gratitude, if you really think about it, right? I'm grateful for the things I have. I'm grateful for the cars and the family and the love and the food and the clothes and the. I'm grateful for hot water, right? I'm grateful for that. But grateful in, that's something that shifts inside me to be grateful in all things, regardless of our circumstances. So we were talked about, you know, an unconditional living. Well, this is an unconditional gratitude. Regardless of circumstances, whatever experience we're having, we bless it. We bless it. So if you're having that bad day, you wake up with the headache, you don't have to like the headache. Obviously, you're in pain. But you can still be in gratitude for your life and in gratitude for everything, for what you're experiencing. You bless it. And this gratitude in requires deeper and stronger spiritual skills. It really does. And it's the same thing as like what we talked about before, seeing the truth despite the despite the appearances that we see. And it's, so it's being grateful in despite the circumstances that we see, despite the appearances we see. And one of the strong points of these calls is, you know, finding a gratitude partner can help you find the good in all situations and circumstances. So this is part of that support system. But we you know, it would be nice to find others in our lives, finding a gratitude partner. And, you know, I encourage you to find a gratitude partner. It's a spiritual practice to be grateful in. Every one of us has something we want to manifest. It's in your vision statement. It's in your dreams. It's in your goals. And there's a frequency of thinking that opens up the capacity that is in you by your nature to create a life you want. That frequency is gratitude. It lifts you to a higher order. You can be the one who is in charge of your destiny. And the frequency that helps you guide that ship is gratitude. So this is a really important, you know, it's an important discussion, especially, you know, as we close out the month in manifestation. Because that frequency of gratitude is the same frequency of abundance, the frequency of love, the frequency of God, infinite intelligence. So, powerful stuff, right? How did that land for you?
Very powerfully.
You guys are taking it in. Contemplation.
Yes. Yes.
No, it's really, it's like, you know, when I first went through this and I was first learning this, you know, it's like, wow, this stuff is deep. I could feel it shifting in me already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's a practice. So it's like when you meditate, meditation's a practice, or yoga is a practice. And so you get in. To get into that state, what am I grateful for? Oh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful in. I'm grateful in. I'm grateful in gratitude. It's powerful. It's powerful. And it helps us. It helps me anyway. When I get into my vision work, it's helpful to, it's easier for me for, sometimes it's a challenge for me to get into the vibration of a vision. But I find it's easier for me to get into gratitude first. Just finding it easier to be grateful in gratitude. And then from there, shift into the vision work, into that feeling tone of the vision. So it's, experiment with that. Experiment with that. And that's what our life work this week, you know, is that the feeling tone of gratitude. But we can, you know, let's, you start, if you don't have it already, you know, put a morning practice together. Put a gratitude journal. Every morning, write 5 things you're grateful for. Add it to the list. Don't repeat. And then every evening, you know, review the list and add to it if you like, you know. And then just like Joan was saying before, the second part of the life work, and you're already doing it, Joan, is be a person of gratitude. Or be a person of increase is another way to say it. You know, you're being a person of gratitude or being a person of increase is when you walk down the street, when you walk into the room, just the frequency that you're vibrating at changes the options for the people that you are around. It changes the options for the people in that room, the people that come in contact with you. That's powerful. If you really think about it, that's so powerful.
That's incredibly powerful.
You know
the thought of, yeah.
Because we've all experienced it, I'm sure, that, you know, good or bad, we've experienced, we walk into a room and there's a bunch of people, you can feel the vibration in the room. Or a person, you can say, oh, there's something about that person I'm attracted to. There's something about their energy that's attracting me to them. And there's other people that just... I remember one time, this is years and years ago, I was still in my 20s, I was in New York City, and I walked into a deli just to get like a pack of gum or a cup of coffee or something like that, And there was a guy, and it was early in the morning, there was a guy at the counter, he's getting a cup of coffee, and there was just something about him. I walked up to the counter, and I literally, his energy, and it was, his back was to me. His energy literally pushed me back. And I turned around, and I walked right out. I said, oh, I can't even be, you know, within 10 feet of this guy. There's something, there was some, I felt it was just something evil. There was just something not good. And I just immediately turned around and left. And so that people sense that. And so if we are that person that's in gratitude, that's vibrating at that frequency, that person of increase, people are attracted to that. Because we are giving off the abundance of life, and everybody is seeking more abundance in life in different areas. And so that's very powerful stuff. It's very powerful stuff, you know.
Because really our conversations with each other are about that, how to increase our lives. You know, even like if talking about shopping, whatever we talk about, that is what it's about.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, and it is biblically based. I mean, we can get into a whole theological discussion about that too. It's all written about in the Bible. It's like, you know, the words we speak, the energy we give out, you know, it affects people. It changes people. And so if we are that person of increase, that person in gratitude, having being in the vibration all the time, as often as we can, to be in that vibration, we're changing lives. We're changing lives. So that's a powerful, and I think, and I firmly believe that's part of our purpose here, is to serve others on all levels, on all levels. You know, what we do, what our calling is, but who we are. This is what we're called to be. This is who we are called, you know, who we are. So, our vocari, our calling. It's powerful. Powerful stuff. So February or April, not February, we're in April. We have an interesting situation. So each month generally has 4 weeks. And that's how this program is designed, 4 weeks. But it just so happens in April, we have 5 Tuesdays. And so we're going to open it up, and we have options, because we don't have, you know, another lesson for next week, because we're not going to jump into the next month. So we have two options. We could take a break next week, or we can still come together and we can do just a Q&A session. We can, you know, ask questions. We can do a mastermind. We can throw ideas around. So that's up to you guys. You know, we're open to it. We're open to it. So once in a while, we do get the gift of five weeks in the month, and that's what happened this month in April. So what do you guys want to do for next week? We'll do a thought party.
I so look forward to this.
So let's not skip it then.
Yeah.
So so we'll have it as just a general discussion and see, you know, if we have some things that we're struggling with or things that we want support in, you know, holding vision, holding state. So let's still meet. And we'll just we'll do a Q&A type of thing. And then next month.
Thank you.
The month of May, we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk.
Oh,
about
I'm gone
love.
That month. Yeah, oh, you're gone that month. Okay. So anyway.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
you're not. Nope. Sorry. You've committed.
Yeah.
No, you've committed.
Yeah,
you're going to be around.
No, actually, I'm being committed. So they don't allow phones where I'm going.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
You're not skipping out on this one, pal.
No, what I'm thinking about is this. If I were to, so today, I don't know if you guys know who Brené Brown is.
No.
Yes, I do. I love her work.
She has a Netflix special.
Oh.
And what she was talking about this morning is so about the work kind of Mary Morrissey. And her thing is, I'm not going to be in the cheap seats. Cheap seats meaning people that are in judgment of you that aren't making brave moves.
Yeah.
She said, I will not go down to the cheap seats. And I thought that was so powerful, you know, and I can't wait to watch her special. You know, I like her. I mean, a little goes a long way with me, but I do like her and, you know, and her messaging. And this is just about, again, creating your dream and keeping people around you that are believers. And
yeah.
The naysayers and the blah, blah, blah people, we all have them. Why do we give them power?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. It's
and
true.
She just caught me. There was just a brief thing this morning. I'd love to, you know, love to talk if, you know, everyone has time to maybe watch, you know, her special or something. You know, I find some of her teachings just really, really, you know, really dead on, you know, on point.
Now, her it's already up. The special's up.
I believe so, because she's doing all the promo around it right now. So it's got to be dropping soon.
Okay. So do you know the title?
No, just Brene Brown. Hi, I'm having a special. It's not Amy Schumer.
And you know what else too? You could. I first heard her on TED Talks, and
yeah.
She's on TED Talks, and it's really it is very profound work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is. Carl, you should look into her. She's one of Oprah's favorites. She's on Oprah all the time. She's on Super Soul Sunday.
Her name is Bene Brown.
Yeah, not Renee, Brene. Brene, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, she's terrific. I mean, she's terrific. You know, I mean, you know, and yeah, she's terrific. And on a special, what's nice about it is that you can just zip over it. Because her books sometimes, I don't know about John for you, but sometimes her books were a little long-winded for me.
I just heard her on her various TED Talks.
Oh, great. It's a shortened version. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant. No, it's worth, you know, again, it's worth a look.
Yeah, no, I'm
it's
definitely
going to
look it up. I wrote it down. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's watch and discuss.
That could be kind of fun. It's kind of like a book club, but easier.
That's right.
The poor man's book club. Not poor man, if you didn't get it, but...
Yeah.
Yep.
Beautiful. Okay, good. All right, so we will meet next week, and we will have a very lively and heart-centered discussion.
Thank you.
We'll do that.
No, I appreciate the time today, and I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing the specials.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah, so look for that.
All right, cool.
Terrific. All right, gang.
All right.
Carl, Caroline, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for everybody. We love you all. And we look forward to a strong week and, you know, hearing the praise reports. And we'll meet same bat station, same bat channel.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Joan, have
you.
A great rest of the
thank
week.
Thank you, Carl. And you too, Michael.
All right.
And you too, Caroline.
Yeah, she left already because she had to go to an appointment. But she'll
tell her.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we send it out in spirit to her.
We will.
All right, guys. We'll reconvene next week.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.